Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, November 14th. Happy Resurrection Day. This is a very important day in the life of our church as we celebrate the 10 years of ministry that our pastor, Dr. Doug Dortch, has given to Mountain Brook Baptist. And the many years before that, I think some 43 total years in vocational ministry that Dr. Dortch has poured his life out into his congregants. And we just want to say thank you to the Lord for his faithfulness and thank you to Dr. Dortch for all he has done and meant to our church. Remember that we'll have Sunday school at 9 a.m. and then a combined worship at 10 a.m. if you are able to be with us in person or even through the live stream. Today we pick up in Acts when Paul is going to the city of Athens. And I love thinking about this portion of scripture because I know on a map where Athens is in Greece. Now, I've never been there, but I've seen lots of pictures, and I'm just reminded that this book, the Bible, is grounded in history and historical places. Acts 17, starting in verse 16, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. And now let's turn over to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 16, a miktam of David. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. From the book of Nehemiah today, we will read Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And this is a section about further opposition to the rebuilding, which reminds me from the outset that sometimes the things that God calls us to do will still encounter opposition. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is the king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together." I sent him this reply, "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, "Now strengthen my hands." One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in his home. He said, "Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you." But I said, "Should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophet Noadiah and how she and the rest of the prophets have been trying to intimidate me. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I am challenged here by Nehemiah once again. When he faces opposition for like the 45th time, he prays a simple prayer. Now strengthen my hands. What is it today that you need the Lord's strength to help you to accomplish? What is it today that is a continual fight? We ask, Lord, that you would help us in the face of opposition to be strengthened by your Spirit and also to realize that sometimes you call us to a great work that is going to be difficult, but it is worth it because it is from you. And so, Lord, give us clarity on what is from you and then help us to do your work according to your word. As we close the podcast today, we just want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the work of our pastor, Dr. Dortch, and all the ministry that he has done in our midst. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile the world to yourself. And we praise and bless you for those whom you have sent by the power of your Spirit to preach the gospel to all nations. Today, we specifically want to praise you for the life and ministry of our pastor, Dr. Dortch, and his wife, Judy. We thank you, Lord, for their faithful, compassionate, and tireless service to the congregation at Mount Brook Baptist, to our community, and to the world. Thank you, Lord, that Dr. Dortch has been such a minister of encouragement and vision, his willingness to minister to all of us, the sick, the dying, the bereaved. Please abundantly bless our pastor and give him rest and fruitful ministry for many, many years. And we just thank you and praise you and pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.